Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
But that's okay. God is good. He is faithful. He is awesome. In spite of everything, no matter what, he is still God and he is still good. My morning didn't start out so good. My husband's out of town and I was walking our dog and our dog got attacked by another dog this morning and was bleeding and has a little wound, but it's okay and all is well in God's kingdom. And he is faithful. You know, the enemy throws things our way, but it never catches God by surprise, and he is amazing. Before I share with you the title of our message this morning, Pastor Ken this morning is going to, he has God in his heart, so he's going to be God this morning, and he's going to give every one of you a baggie with a crayon in it, and you'll know why in just a few minutes. I want to share this with you because I feel like that it's a powerful message that needs to be talked about. And as I said, for all practical purposes this morning, he's God. And don't ask for two because he's not going to give you two. He's only going to give you one baggie with one crayon in it. You only get one. And while I'm saying that, I want to tell you something about the crayon. You don't get to choose what color the crayon is. And you may not like what color that you're given. You may look at your crayon and you may say, I don't like this crayon. I wish I had Vic's crayon. I wish I had Samantha's crayon. I wish I had Mark's crayon. I don't like the crayon that he is passing out to me. But it's not up to you to choose because remember, he represents God and he gives you the one you get. And there's nothing you can do about it at all except you've accepted it, right? Right? You accept the crayon. So I'm going to ask you to do something with the crayon in just a few minutes. So you can go ahead and take your crayon out of your baggie. And Lilia, did you get a baggie yet? Okay. Lilia, when you get your baggie, you don't follow the instructions. Vic, you don't follow the instructions. Two of you don't follow the instructions. But I'm going to give you some instructions about it, and very quickly we're going to do a little lesson on this morning. Okay, so Pastor Ken is God. God is moving through the building even now because he has God in his heart. So everybody except for Vic and Lilia, take the crayon out of your baggie and break it in half. Just break it. Just take your crayon and just break it, but not Vic and Lilia. I'm going to take Vic's crayon, and I'm going to break it for him. I'm going to show you how it's done. I broke his crayon, and I'm going to break Lilia's crayon. Okay? So now some of you who are getting this realize that he's God. And the crayon represents your life and your heart. The crayon is your life and your heart. You only get one life. And every crayon, by the way, I checked my crayon box, they're all different. They're all unique. They may look similar. You eat two in your row may have a green crayon. They're not the same. Everyone is unique and everyone is different. But now we sit in a building where everyone is broken. And here's the thing I have to say to you. Shame on you. Some of you broke your own crayons, right? Isn't that how life works? Sometimes we cause our own pain and we break ourselves. But other times, in the case of Vic and Lilia, they're crying, that's not fair. I'm broken. My crayon's broken too. And I didn't even have anything to do with that. I did not break my crayon. You broke it. Someone else broke you. And that's how it happens with our life. Sometimes it's by choice, and sometimes Sometimes we break our own crayon, and sometimes someone else does it for us. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter, because in the word says in this life we will have trouble. And we're still broken, right? But watch this. Broken crayons still color. That's the title of the message. God says that, I'm going to read to you a scripture here that is a very powerful scripture pertaining to this. And here's what it says. It's found in Ephesians. And it says that you are, I can't even bring it up right now. You are God, here it is. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do all the good things that he has planned for us. We are broken, but we are still useful in God's kingdom. God can use broken crayons. He can use every bit of us and still create a masterpiece. I had a very, very interesting experience the other day with the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me again and talking to me. And when I was actually preparing these notes, one of the things the Holy Spirit brought to me, there was a picture of me. And I looked at that picture, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And I'm going to say this without crying, because I practiced it. And this is what the Holy Spirit said to me. Is there anything at all that you would like to say to this broken daughter of mine? He said, talk to her. And I'm looking at a picture of myself, and here's what I said. I wrote it down. I said, I would like to tell her that God loves her and that he's got her. I would like to tell her not to worry about the medical test that she faces. I would like to tell her that her past doesn't define her any longer. I would like to tell her that it's all going to be okay. Maybe not today, but someday. I would like to tell her that she's doing her best, that she doesn't have to be perfect. I would like to tell her not to pay attention to the haters and the naysayers. I would like to tell her that her tears are safe with God, that he saw it all and he heard it all. What was said in secret rooms. I would like to tell her that they rejected her, but they missed it because she's good, she's kind, and she's loving. I would like to remind her that Jesus died for her and that she's going to make it all the way, that she's not perfect, and but she's done a lot of good things. I would like to tell her to stop berating herself and beating herself up. I would like to tell her to just overlook a lot of the things and keep loving them anyway and keep helping them, doing what you do, and keep showing them Jesus, and most of all, never, never, ever, ever, ever give up. I think if we would understand that we are all broken people, but that God is still in this picture. He died for us. He cares for us, and he will use us in his kingdom, even in our most broken state. It's one of my favorite sayings that even broken crayons still color, because we have all been broken. And I remembered an incident when I was preparing this also, that when I was a very young child in grammar school, that a girl took another girl's box of crayons and just broke them all, just started breaking them all. And of course, she was upset and crying because someone else just broke her and broke her completely down. And that can happen in life. But I want to say a couple things. One, our brokenness does not disqualify us from being useful in God's kingdom, even being used powerfully and supernaturally by God. Our brokenness has nothing to do with how God can or cannot use us. And God can still make something beautiful of our lives. It is sad when we cause our own pain. But in spite of the fact that someone else may have caused us pain. Maybe someone harmed us spiritually. Maybe you carry church hurt. Maybe it's emotional hurt. Maybe it's mental abuse that you've been through, physical things in your life that really broke you down. I mean, I know a young lady in my life that's facing great physical challenges ahead of her, and things don't seem to be getting better. They seem to be going in the opposite direction, but God uses broken people. He definitely does. Let me read something about how much God cares. Psalm 56:8 says, you tell of my wanderings. You know, and God knows how we wander around and the things, our sorrows, some translations. You put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? You know, this is interesting because the New Living says, you keep track of all my pain and sorrows. You have collected and saved every one of my tears in your bottle. And you have also, not only have you saved my tears, the Bible says you recorded them in your book. And I picture God recording our tears in his book. And I think that God knows about our deepest sorrows, but I love that he keeps track of them, that he remembers how we've been hurt, and he takes that into account, your pain. He takes it into account. You know, it's interesting. When a friend of mine went to Jerusalem, went to Israel, she bought something in a gift shop that I had never heard of before. You know what it's called? A tear bottle. They save their tears. Jewish women are known, and it's been that way for centuries upon centuries, that they save their tears in a bottle. And it reminds you of your pain when you're out of pain, too, when God has healed the pain. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And in that translation, I didn't realize this either. What that is he is especially close. Wow! He's not just close like we're close. He's especially close to you in your brokenness. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. If you're crushed, you're going to be rescued. Psalm 51:17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken, a contrite heart, and God, thou will not despise that. God, and why did it say that, by the way? A broken and a contrite heart, a repentant heart, God doesn't hate that. In other words, if you've caused it yourself, if you've done something that broke yourself, and you even need to repent, I sinned and that's how I got broken, God says, I'm not mad about that. I don't despise that. I'm not mad about that, that you broke yourself and you have to repent. I'm still going to help you. That's a worthy sacrifice. So even if you have to bring your sin and your pain to the altar and say, this is my gift, God, this is my sacrifice, my repentant heart and the mess I got myself in, it's all I have left to give to you, and I will give you that. Isaiah 61:3, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Ashes are what happens when something has been completely destroyed. When they sat in ashes, it was because they had lost it all. It's ashes are when someone has been cremated. When there is no more, everything is gone. He gives you beauty for ashes, oil of joy, which is the Holy Spirit for your time of mourning. He gives you that joy. And a garment of praise instead of despair. After that pain is over, you have a garment of praise, and they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for his splendor. God is going to help us in our time of pain. He has promised to be with us, to be especially near us, and I want to tell you that even in your deepest sorrow, the Holy Spirit is right there. He's healing you even as you're suffering. That is a hard concept to understand, that the Holy Spirit is working in me as I'm suffering. Even though I cause my own suffering, he's still working inside of me. And I want to say it like this: God will make something out of your nothing. Give him your nothing, and he will make something. Watch him work. Did he not create us out of the dust of the earth, out of nothingness? Out of your nothingness, if you bring your nothingness to him, if you bring your sin to him, if you bring your sorrow to him, he redeems our brokenness and binds up our wounds. The hope in pain is the promise of God. I want you to never forget that. The hope in pain is the promise of God, that he makes good on his word and his promise. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good, in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And God's calling, by the way, is without repentance. So no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you've blown it, sinned, whatever you've done, not been obedient to God, his call is without repentance. And if he's called you, if he has called you, He's going to work good out of your life. And we don't like to believe that there's purpose in pain. And we don't like to believe that God even allows pain. But the Bible says that suffering produces endurance and suffering strengthens us. And I can tell you right now that suffering qualifies you to minister to other broken people. You are the one who has the compassion. You cannot be honest and say, hey, Lily, I know what you're going through. Janice, I know. If you don't know, but if you've been there, if you sat in the seat of the sufferer, if you have joined Jesus in the fellowship of his sufferings, then you're fit for ministry. Then you're qualified. Then your ministry is validated if you have been the one who suffered. Because when God makes something out of my life, he's using it one of those broken crayons. He's not coloring with a perfect color. I came to this earth probably a halfway cute baby, but very, very quickly we're broken. Very quickly. But God continues to use the broken crayon. And he's continually drawing a masterpiece. He's continually working on us. And the brokenness remains, but the healer also remains. And, you know, I want to tell you that often, and we don't want to hear this either, that our brokenness is what draws us closer to Christ. It is our brokenness that brings us closer to Christ. Because those who've got it all together find no need for Christ. Those who don't, they see their great need for Christ. Don't allow your past to define you and to make you think. I love Pastor Ken's favorite story, your favorite story, the woman at the well, John 4:9. You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. What does that mean? You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. It means I am a broken woman. It means I am an outcast woman. It means I am a compromised woman. It means I am a hated woman. It means all of that. I am a Samaritan, and he cares for Samaritans. And I thought of it. You are God, and I am a sinner. And I fall, and I fail, and I've blown it. How can you ask to use me? And he asked to use the woman at the well. He wanted to use her. And I love the saying that says, he didn't come for the water, he came for me. He didn't come for the water, he came to give the water. We get that mixed up, don't we? We think we're doing something for Jesus. I'm giving water to people. No, Jesus is giving water to you, or you couldn't give water to anybody. You wouldn't even have water to give if Jesus didn't give it. And the woman at the well, she actually represents you and I, that Jesus offers us living water. It's so cool. My favorite part of the story is when she runs to tell others that I met a man who told me everything I ever did. And she was excited about that. I think of myself, and Jesus is standing there telling me about my past. You know, I know you did this, and you got 5 husbands, you got 6 husbands, you know, you're with another guy, you're with another guy. And I get excited about it. Yay! You know, excuse me? Like, wait a minute, I've just been exposed by someone who loves me and wants to give me living water. That's different. That's different. You can be real if you know somebody loves you. And the love of Jesus, you know, was just all over him. In the way he said that, he didn't tell her about her whole life in a demeaning manner like we would. Well, 5 husbands, is that all? You know, 5? Are you living with a guy? Seriously. And you're encountering me, you lousy Samaritan outcast, don't touch me. It's not how he said it. He said, do you have a husband? He said it in the most beautiful and kind way that she literally knew by the power of the Holy Spirit. This man loves me. This man loves me just like I am. I am so broken. How broken do you have to be? Probably man number 6 didn't want to marry her. Would you? He probably didn't even want to marry her. Why bother now? That's the kind of people that Jesus loves. And we're that kind of people. And God doesn't run away from people like that. But let me tell you who does. The world does. You're not safe out there in the world. And I don't mean physically, just physically. I mean, you're not safe emotionally. You're not safe mentally. You're not safe spiritually out there in the world. You are safe with Jesus if you are a broken crayon. If you are a broken person, you are safe. And God used, think about it. God used, my brother brought it up when we were talking about this the other day. God used Samson in his brokenness. My brother reminded me of that. He used Gideon in his weakest. I'm the weakest one, and my family's the weakest, and my tribe's the weakest. My nation's the weakest. He's like, weak, weak, weak. And God goes, let the weak say I am strong. I choose you, Gideon, you mighty warrior. And Gideon's like, I'm not mighty. I'm not a warrior. I told you I'm weak. God's like, no, no deal. No deal. I use broken crayons. I'll color with you. And it's not that people can't help. Oftentimes, it's that the world won't help. So don't look for your help from the world. If you feel broken, don't call someone from the world. Call on Jesus. Call someone who has Jesus in their heart, who will not put you down when you have to tell them, listen, this is what I did, and it's not pretty. I did something that my life is a mess. It's a mess. Can Jesus fix me? You know, it's been 1 year since we lost our beloved Pastor Gil. And I remember that when I remember the day I was praying about what to share, what to speak at his funeral. And God said, because he always walked with a cane and a limp, God said, title the message, Never Trust a Man Without a Limp. And that's kind of something I have in the back of my head and live by. If you can't tell me about your brokenness, we probably can't be friends because I'm broken. I've been broken. We can't relate. There's nothing really to talk about for us. You're doing so great. Great job. Me, sometimes I can barely breathe. Sometimes I can barely hold my head up. So if you're one of those kind of people, let's talk. Let's talk because I can tell you that Jesus loves the man with the limp. It's from the story of Jacob. You know, Jacob was never the same after he wrestled with God and got that limp. You know, sometimes we think, you know, I still have a scar from what happened to me. That's okay, because that scar is a testimony of what God has done in your life. If you have a scar, it's your testimony. And I've seen so many people recently, a woman who lost her child. I had been following her story, and she lost her child. And she said, I cannot afford to waste 1 minute of time to tell you this. God gave me 6 years with the most beautiful little girl you ever met in your entire life, with the most beautiful eyes, that she had the face of God, and he gave her to me. And I am so grateful, and I am so thankful. And you know what I did? I gave her back to God. Wow. Wow. She's got a testimony. Did she enjoy what she went through? No, she did not. She begged, she pleaded. But like King David, once God has made a decision, and by the way, while I'm on this, God is in charge of eternity. You know, we pray for healing. We believe in healing. Healing is a gift from God. Guess what? So is heaven. It's a greater gift. So we don't rail at God. We thank God for what we have. And in everything, give thanks. Not for everything. You know, you get shot in the foot. I'm thankful I got shot. No. As I am shot in the foot, I am saying I am still thankful to God in this particular situation, because brokenness, God can use brokenness. If I get shot in the foot, how can God use my brokenness? Because I'm going to tell everybody, I didn't get killed. I was okay. My dog got chewed just a teeny, teeny bit, but it could have been worse. It could have been a lot worse, and I could have got hurt. Anything could have happened. Thank God for the brokenness in your life that you have not experienced. How about that? You know that you are broken, but you... Someone sent their tithes. How sweet. That's great. multitasking, right? There are so many things in life that haven't happened to you because of God. Because of God, you're broken, but you're not as broken as you could be, because the Bible talks about two things. Watch this. Brokenness and being crushed. Being in a heap of ashes, there's two different things. So God, I'll take my brokenness and give it to you, God, as a worthy offering. And let me tell you something that came to me that was very interesting to me, because I'm very soon, next Monday night, in fact, I'm going to be teaching about the loaves and fishes. I'm going to be teaching actually about the miracle story of the loaves and fishes and the feeding of the 5,000 and how it compares with the feeding of the 4,000. I'll give you a hint. One group was a Gentile group and one was a Jewish group. Jesus feeds the Jews and he also feeds the Gentiles. So come hear that on Monday night, next Monday night. But I want to tell you something about the story of the loaves and the fishes. They never multiplied until two things. They brought them to Jesus, and what did he do again? He broke them. He broke them in order for them to multiply. We don't want to hear that message, do we? We don't want to hear it. But things happen when we're broken. You have a testimony, you have a platform, and you also have compassion that God gives you to minister to other people. You know, Joseph is another perfect example. He was so broken. When I say broken, he was broken. He was broken, rejected. He was broken in every way that you can just possibly almost be. And in the pit, out of the pit, in the prison, and finally out of the prison. And guess what? God used broken people. But he used him to feed other people. That's why he wants to use us in our brokenness to help other people heal, to help so that we can forgive them all, every one of them, all of them. That's what he had to do, forgive all the brothers. And then he had to do beyond that. Not only do I have to feed all you guys if you hurt me, I forgive you, I've got to feed you too. That's kind of cool, isn't it? That forgiveness and feeding go along with each other. Let me tell you something. The thing about broken crayons is that we all have them. We all have them. And we've all done a lot of things that cause things. And we have to be careful when we're looking here. I just want to spend 1 minute on this, just 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes. And I'm going to have Pastor Ken play, because I think we need to spend some time with Jesus. And Alan's going to do communion after that. When we're dealing with other broken people, here's the thing. We need to be reminded that not to blame the victim and not to be too quick to judge, because you haven't walked in their shoes. You don't know what caused them to make the decisions they make. You know, I heard a story, I think Pastor Ken and I told this at one time, about a New York courtroom where a woman was charged with stealing in a store. And she went before the night judge as she was charged with theft. And the fine was something like, I don't know, $100, $200, whatever it was. It was an amount. And when she went before the judge took the time to ask her, she was an older woman, why did you steal this stuff? You knew, you know, you probably get caught. And she said, I have no money. I'm raising my grandchildren. I have no money. I stole bread and milk and eggs, and she named the things that she stole. She said, and I'm not going to tell you I didn't steal. She said, but you asked me why, so I told you why, to feed my grandchildren. And so the judge fined her the normal fine of, I think it was, may have been $200. And then he pulled the $200 out of his own pocket and he said to the bailiff, I want to pay this fine. And he said, I also want to fine everyone who's in the courtroom here tonight $20, who would let this woman have to be reduced to that, that you would want to live in a city where this has to happen. He said, everybody give me $20. And he sent her home with money. And that's how it's done, folks. That's how it's done when we're dealing with the broken. You don't know what caused them to make that decision that caused their own brokenness. I've seen it in the lives of young ladies. I had a young lady come to me that thankfully she chose not to abort her child, but she was seeking an abortion, and she came to talk, and her back was up against the wall. She had made some wrong decisions. Let me tell you something. She was in a foreign country here from Poland. She was looking for love, someone to care, someone to love. And she got pregnant. But you know what? We got to be careful how we judge other people. You can't write them off and say, you know, well, she caused that herself. How about buying some baby clothes? How about stepping up and saying, you know what? Just make another, you made a wrong decision, so here's what I told her. You did make a wrong decision, but praise God, here's an opportunity for you to make a right decision. And you know what? Not only can you make a right decision, I will help you make that right decision by supporting you with finances, by supporting you with clothing, and helping you in your time of brokenness. And we need to be so that way that people would know that they wouldn't have to run from us, but they could run to us. And that's how we have to talk about with Jesus. We have to be able to so represent Jesus that people will feel comfortable coming to us, that they will feel that I am a safe place. And the only way to do that is to expose our own brokenness to them. Oh, no, you can't go to a pastor with that kind of sin. Well, then here's my question. Who can I go to? Who can I go to? I am now on a pastor's website, on a pastor's social media thing. I answered one question. 26 pastors responded and said, tell me more. Talk to me. If you just say, I'm broken too, the door opens for other people, for you to help other people. But you got to say, I'm a broken crayon too. You can't say, I'm perfect. I am the perfect sunshine yellow crayon. That's me over here. So, no, you can't do that. Pastor Ken, we're going to ask that you come. So what I thought I would do today, because we're going to receive communion in a few minutes, is just... I want us to come, and I want us to bring our brokenness to Jesus. I want us to just be vulnerable enough to say, I am broken, and God, here's all the pieces, here's all the situations, here's my past, here's what happened to me, here's what they did to me, here's what I did to me. I want to bring it to Jesus right here. And Pastor Ken's going to, let's stand, let's go ahead and stand. And if you would make your way to the front, and we can just stay here because we're going to receive communion. So you don't have to go back and forth. It's not a marathon, so we'll just, you know. And I'm going to pray for us because we're broken and we need Jesus. We need him more than ever. If you don't need Jesus, you don't need to come. Only this is for people who need Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Father God, I confess brokenness to you. Father God, all the past, all the failures, all the heartaches. Father God, I thank you, Father God, that you have been there every time, that you saw every hurt, every wound, every situation, and you heard every cry. Father God, I remember so many times, even recently when my eye was cut, I remember kneeling in the bathroom, just crying out to God, help me, Holy Spirit, help me. And guess what? You were there, and that's why we can stand. Father God, I ask in Jesus' name that you would heal every broken heart, every broken place, Father God. Father God, that you would restore relationships. Father God, that you would take away the pain, so much so that we would be willing to use our pain as a testimony to others. Father God, we feel your presence. We know that you are here. We know that you care. We've never doubted that you care. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that we praise you as a sacrifice, that we give you our brokenness as a sacrifice. Lord, accept that as our offering today, Father God. It's not always about, when we talk offering, we usually talk finances, but God, we're bringing a different kind of offering here today. We are bringing a sacrifice, Father God. Our pain, Father, heal it. Help us, God. Help us to help others. Help us to not judge, to put aside the judging. We're going to leave the judging to Jesus. Father, we are not the authority that is able to judge. Only you, God. Father God, we thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Father God, we thank you for cleansing and healing, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, heal our hearts, Father God. Heal our minds, Father God, our emotions. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. And we give you the praise and the glory for what you're about to do in our lives. Bring forth revival to us, Father God. Father, let your fire fall on the sacrifice. Thank you, Jesus. Fire does not fall where there is no sacrifice. Father, we give it all to you in Jesus' name. Alan's going to lead us in communion.
Okay, did everybody receive elements? Great. Okay, great. Now we're here to receive communion, celebrate communion, but keep in mind, it's also to remember in remembrance of what our Lord Jesus did for us, but it's also in remembrance of our blood covenant. Okay? A blood covenant. And what's a blood covenant? It's a covenant that can't be broken. Okay, so it's ironclad. So just think of it that way, that the enemy can't come and say tomorrow, oh, you did this or that. No, we have a blood covenant with our Lord. So we're going to take bread. We're going to break it like he broke his body for us. And we're going to receive it in remembrance of Jesus, in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. And then we're going to take the cup in remembrance of his shedding his blood for us. And we're thankful for that. Receive it with all thankfulness and faith in the name of Jesus. And we're thankful for that, Jesus. We give you the glory and thank you for everything in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.